read from chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. And we're going to read this in Jesus' name. I'm not claiming to have any great insight on this. I'm not claiming to have any understanding that other people haven't had. I just pray that God will reveal his word in and through this text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as they labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, that for the day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all the children of light, children of the day. You are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet of hope of salvation. For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are all awake or asleep, we might live in him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. What an encouraging word. Oftentimes, Father, we hear negativity. Even in the Christian church, it seems that we have a God that stands above us at times in our minds and just demands. Father, you are a gracious God. You have given us a gift that is beyond all measure, an imputed righteousness through Jesus Christ. Allow this to be learned. Allow this to be grasped. And allow us to be sanctified in the truth, set apart in truth. For your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This text is actually kind of fitting, because Paul opens up very strongly. He says, you're not blind. You kind of know what's going on. And the point of it is that this not only speaks to those in the time that Paul was writing this, this speaks to the time that we are in. That we would understand and know that we have a God upon a throne who watches over us and in reality has given us victory in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so he says, you're not looking out into this world blindly. You know that God is on your side. And I would pray that's why we're here. We're here because we understand the love of God. That Christ Jesus has come to this earth and has given himself in our behalf. That we understand and know that by grace through faith, we have redemption by the blood of Christ. We have forgiveness. And we stand not in haughtiness of self, but we stand in victory. Because the goodness of God has been poured out upon us in a way that is unimaginable. It's not done by, in reality, the credibility of other men. It's not done by what synagogue you go to. It's not done by even the bloodline anymore. Because now Paul is reaching out to those that would be of Gentile nations. And the Israelites' understanding outside of the camp. But he encourages them to understand and know that God has not hid a thing from them. That he has given everything for them. And things look dark at moments, don't they? They look dark. And oftentimes things can seem quite desperate, especially when we start looking out into the world or we start looking into our own families or we start looking into diseases or different struggles like that. There is a lot that definitely can oppress a person. But God is above it. He's above all of it. So So he says, now concerning the times, the moments that you're in, and the times really is an interesting thing. He says here, the stretches of time that you're going through, he says, and the seasons. Seasons basically would be the periods or the events happening in this time. See, time continues, right? We count the year. But we have seasons, the events going on in that period of time. He says, very straightforward, we know. We know what we're living through, and we know that there's different seasons. Have you had different seasons in your life? Have you had good times? Have you had good moments? Has there been blessings of family? Has there been blessings of all kinds of things in your life? Absolutely. But has there been difficult times? Sure, we face them. There's time of illness. There's time of loss. There's time of death. But that does that define who we are? No. Those are the seasons that we go through living in this life, but it does not remove from us the assurity of being the children of God by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And this is really what Paul is trying to say to us. He says, I know it can be difficult. I know there's times and there's difficulties and there's good times and there's victories. He says, there are these seasons. He says, but brothers, I don't need to write to you about this stuff. I don't need to focus on that. He says, because you yourself, you're aware. He says, you actually are fully aware that the day of the Lord in reality will come as a thief in the night. And that's a kind of an interesting thing. That in other words, we know Christ is coming. See, he's preaching about the second coming of Jesus Christ, something that maybe we don't focus on too much. But then we have different, I would say, denominations that will build their whole ministry upon only the second coming of Jesus Christ and trying to figure out when it is. And sadly to say, I think that that's not healthy either. We're always waiting for the great consummation where this world will end. We always kind of look at that as the understanding of where we stand. Is when this world ends, maybe we've tried to predict. I mean, maybe we've been like other religions that have tried to predict it over and over and over. But in the moment that we're living in, especially in the days it seems that we have before us, we don't know if somebody's end will come today, will come tomorrow. We could be so fixated upon the end of the world that we can actually miss that the end may come for me today. Today. This is how serious it is. It comes as a thief in the night. It's not that he didn't tell us. It's not that he hasn't warned us. It's not that he hasn't given us a better way to live in victory or in his righteousness. It's that we'll be surprised. Isn't that amazing? When we turn around and we listen to different people talk. You know, when I was probably 19 years old and somebody passed away at 65, I thought, well, they were pretty old. But now if somebody was to pass away at 65 and I'm 50, I'm saying, that's young. We're surprised. Because, and I think healthily wise, we don't live in the aspect of death all the time. We live in life. But he says, we're not blinded to it. We understand and know that it can come at any moment and any time. So we live in the expectation of Jesus Christ. It's kind of interesting. I remember as we enter towards this Christmas season, I think it's very powerful to consider. Bonhoeffer writes, and he says that we need to really consider, has the Christian church lost sight of the second coming of Jesus? He says, because we need to be as a child. As a child sits and stares out the window during Christmas Eve, waiting for Santa Claus to come. Maybe we don't believe in all that stuff. But what I'm saying is that they live with a great expectation, a great excitement, that something good is coming. But we as Christians, we also live in that same expectation, that same excitement. That the turmoil of this life, the difficulty of this life, the uncertainty of the earthly life, that it can fade. I always say that heaven is not a consolation prize. But it's not. It is a victory. It is a victory. And he says, so you all understand. He says, we're fully aware that God will come when he wants. And that it will happen when we least expect it, most likely. Really, why is he saying this? So that we'd be ready. That's a majority of the New Testament. The majority of the New Testament is written in a fashion, in a way, and you see it expressly in the Gospel of Mark. But it's always about being ready, being alert, being attentive. Sometimes Jesse gets a little slothful. Sometimes Jesse allows things to consume him, around him, and take away from the understanding of who he is by the finished work of Jesus Christ and the gift that is given. But he says, while people are turning around and they're actually in this world talking kind of blindly, and that's really what he's talking about here. He says, really, they turn around and they say there's peace and security. It really says here that the blind remain blind. They don't want to see it. Everything's fine here. There's no collusion. Nothing's going on. Nothing. How many people have said in this world, where is Jesus? Why hasn't he come? Honestly, because he loves us. I remember being in class and one of my professors would speak in a way, he said that there was always a prayer upon the elders' mouths of those old theologians. They would always have a prayer and they would say, Lord Jesus, come and come quickly. But wait one more day. One more day. That one more soul may be saved. Do you hear the love in a statement like that? Yes, Lord, I want to be with you. Yes, Lord, I want your kingdom to be reigned in and that we can live in eternity. Lord, come quickly, please. But I love my brothers. I love my sisters. I love the people around me enough that I would desire you could wait one more day so that they may believe. That they may believe. There's those in this world that act like nothing's ever going to happen. That there is no reality to eternity. And they're living in a falseness. And then it says very plainly, then all of a sudden sudden destruction will come upon them as they labor pains. Come upon a pregnant woman, and you kind of understand this. I'm not a lady. I haven't lived through that kind of pain. I've lived through some other pains. I've definitely had indigestion, and all of a sudden it hits you like a rock. But the fact of it is, it sneaks up on you because we're too busy living our lives and thinking that we have everything under control, thinking that, you know, everything is just going ducky. And then all of a sudden it comes quickly. But the interesting part of it is, how quickly did it come? Because he's continually told us. He's continually shared with us. He's continually poured out his plan from the very beginning of time. The question I would have is, do we hear it? Do we know it? Do we believe it? He says, it's going to come fast. It's going to come fast. It says very plainly in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24 how it will be. He says, very straightforward, Jesus says, it's going to be just like in Noah's time. He says, these individuals that are living upon this earth, they're going to go on thinking that everything is just perfectly normal. They're going to go on eating and drinking, living their lives, and having, in reality, giving in marriage, and doing all of these things, because it's going to continue on. We're always looking for some great catastrophe to happen, to wake people up. Honestly, from the beginning of time, the flesh has been a catastrophe. And God has blessed us with great moments through it. But now he calls to see and he calls us to know that we are not the children of darkness. We are not those that live in this fear, because we live in the victory of Jesus Christ. And he says very plainly, he says, yes, it may sneak up on you as far as that goes, or it may come across this world as even a woman going into birth pains. He says, but you're not in the darkness. And he's speaking to the believers. He says, you're not in darkness. He says, brothers, he says, because that day comes as a surprise, like a thief. He says, because you know what? Jesus has shared with us with you. You're not in the darkness because the gospel speak of it. The darkness doesn't surprise you because in reality you know it's there. He comes out very strongly, bringing us to the point of understanding. Do you hear? Do you know what Christ has shared with you? Why are we surprised? Oftentimes we listen to even conversations out there in the general public and it's like people are shocked that the world is getting worse. And I'm not trying to be a negative. Well, Nancy's not here, so I'll say negative Nancy. Nancy Erickson always gets mad when I say negative Nancy. But why are we so surprised? We live in a fallen world. But we are victorious. In and through the finished work of Jesus Christ, we are the children of God. And we understand and know that this is not for eternity here upon this earth, but this will fade away. And he says, so you are not surprised by this, because you have learned, and because Christ Jesus has shared this with you, and God has shared his plan from the very beginning. He says, so don't fall asleep. He said, don't fall asleep. He says, others do. He says, but you, he says, you need to be awake and alert, awake and sober, not washed away with your own understandings, not washed away with the understanding of the world, but be alert. How do we stay that way? Isn't that an interesting question? And I don't need to, you know, give you the answer as far as, because I don't know for you personally. But I do know that it is the Word of God that keeps us in tune. What do we take the most in? What do we digest the most? I mean, in all honesty, with our smartphones, and I'm not trying to say right, wrong, or otherwise, I'm just saying, what do we ingest the most? One of the things that I've been struggling with is a little bit of depression in my own head of what's going on in this world and struggling a little bit with that. Probably a lot of it. But last week, very, very wonderfully, God opened Colossians and he opened it to me in a very powerful way that when I was studying for Bible study, oh, this guy studies. Yeah, of course I do. It's a Bible. You read it. You go through it. You look at it. That's what you do. We've almost lived in a society in some of our groups that say you shouldn't study the Word of God. What? That's what we need. We need this. Jesse was taking in too much Newsmax, too much Fox, too much CNN, too much Parler, whatever it may be. And it was consuming because you start listening to everything going on out there and you think, well, there's no hope. But then you turn around and you open Colossians and you find out that God loves us so much and he gives us a hope. He gives us victory in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ, that we are his children. He has not taken his eyes upon us, off of us, off of us. I'm human too. But what gives the hope? It is the promises found within that word. My suggestion to you, right now, within the time that we're living through, throughout this time, through Christmas, whatever it may be, is take the Word of God in. Hear it. Listen to it. Read it. Allow that Word to give you a confidence and an understanding of the victory of God above all of our situations, whether it be health, whether it be loss, whether it be national, whether it be world. May we intake his word, because it gives us a confidence And it gives us, I know I've been repeating this so much, it gives us a peace. Are you receiving peace from what you see out there? I'm not making fun of it. I'm not trying to tell you how to think. Is it giving you peace? I'm not asking you to turn a blind eye. But is it giving you peace? We've seen Jesus take on many different moments in his ministry upon this earth. And we've seen him where people have received him very well, desiring from him. And we've seen where people have rejected him in his own ministry. Not my words, look in the scripture, open that book and read it. And what does Jesus do when he, being fully God and fully human, what does he do? If I could dare say the words about our Lord, what does he do when he's overwhelmed? That's a very bad word for me to use, but what else are you going to say? He enters into a private place and he communes with the Father. He gives us that example. Shut it off, even for a moment, and commune with the Father. God has blessed us by the power of his Holy Spirit to leave us a word that is so powerful that when every time we read it, we see something new. Because God's word is not a dead word. God's word is a living word. It has life. We don't worship a historic dead Jesus. We worship a living God with a living word that gives us in our times of need. Nothing has changed on God's side. The question is, what has changed on our side? I don't need to write to you about the seasons that you're in. I don't need to write to you about all the emotions that you're going through. But you are not the children of darkness. You are the children of light. Because God has shared his word with you and have given you a hope that you are equipped to enter into this world, not as darkness, but as light. This is who you are. Don't fall asleep. This is not the time to take a nap. This is not a time to stop reading his word and being involved. He says, but brothers, he says, you don't fall asleep and you don't act surprised because you know, he says, because you are the children of light. You are the children of day. You know, that is, you always think about that, right? With the dawn coming, it's a new hope. And he's telling us right here and right now, not only to those in Thessalonica, but he's telling us today here in the United States of America, we are the children of hope because we are the children of God. Not because we've done something, but because he does it all. He says, therefore, you are the children of light, the children of day. He says, we are not of night. We are not of darkness. That's not who we are. We are an encouragement. How are we doing? Are we encouraging? Are we hopeful? Don't even think for a moment that I'm not preaching to myself. Left to myself, I don't have it all together. But he calls us to read, to know. To be plugged in would be a nice modern word, right? To his word, to his spirit, to take time. He says, you, don't fall asleep. He says, others do this. Others lull people to sleep. They're singing those lullabies all the time. He says, don't do this. He says, but keep awake. He says, be sober. Be in the word. Don't be falsely influenced by false spirits. That's really what he's talking about here. Don't be falsely influenced. He says, for those who sleep at night. He says, those that in reality indulge in this abuse or in drunkenness. And we always take this only to a literal aspect of drunkenness. I've seen plenty of people drunk during the daytime. I'm not saying it's right. That's not my point. But really what he's talking about here is a spiritual drunkenness. That we get carried away with every wind of doctrine. That we get carried away with every political stance. That we get carried away of thinking that this whole thing in reality that we follow in this world is going to save us. Jesus Christ is our Savior and Him alone. I don't say we don't pray for truth. I don't say that we don't get involved in truth and that we ask God to reveal truth even in our nation. But these two individuals cannot save your soul. Christ Jesus has done that. Christ Jesus is your Savior. And so he turns around and he says, don't get carried away. He says, because we belong to the day, be tied to the right spirit. Be sober. Don't get carried away with everything else. He says, and this is how you do it. See, this is the thing. We don't think the scripture tells us how to do it. But he says, now, put on the breastplate of faith and love. In other words, protect yourself with the God-given faith that he has given to us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of what? CNN? Fox? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. You want to be encouraged? Hear his word. Hear his victory cry. He says, you put on. You listen to that. You listen to his word. Allow it to have an effectual work, that it would protect your heart. That's my words. That it would protect your heart in these difficult times. He says, so you put on that breastplate of faith. He says, in love. In spite of what's going on out there, can we not love one another? Can we not enter into the world as a light of love in this world? Well, that's too soft, Pastor. Really? Is it? Jesus Christ gave us the greatest example of love that ever was. He served every one of us unto the end. He served us. He says, a greater commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. We always love to say, love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Love our neighbor as ourself. Maybe I'm crazy in this, but sometimes it has kind of a limit there in our mind. But Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? What did he withhold? Nothing. Nothing. He gave everything for us. He says, therefore, he says, you put on that breastplate of faith and love. He says, and you have this helmet, this crowning of hope and salvation. In other words, by this faith and through this love, you know exactly who you are. You are as a child of God. Child of God. I've had to allow the word to criticize me. That I've had to come to the point of praying for both of these individuals in an election. Is it hard for you to pray for one of them? In my flesh, it is. I'll let you decide which one that is. But the truth of it is, we need to pray for both. God has not destined us for wrath. He hasn't destined us for wrath. He says, but to obtain salvation, how? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. God has given us this. We talk about it in Ephesians. It talks about God has destined a path of salvation for each and every one of us through Jesus Christ. I don't believe in dual predestination. If that's your bag, you'll have to just enjoy that on your own for the moment. I don't. I believe that God has destined a path of salvation for each and every one of us, absolutely, through the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is open to all. Doesn't mean everybody will receive it, but it's there. But he says very plainly, he says, now, he says, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the reason I brought in dual predestination is some people believe that God destined some for heaven and some for hell. He said he didn't do that. Right here, he says that. He didn't. That would make God the author of evil. Well, I like this one, but not this one. I created this one to go here, but this one to go here. That's not our God. He has opened a path of salvation for each and every one by the finished work of Jesus Christ, that they may know, that they may hear, that they may believe and receive. But are we sharing it? He says, because he died for us. Who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, in other words, this is the beauty of it. He knows that we're going to take naps. He knows that we're going to go through difficult moments. If you haven't, then Lord's waiting for you at this moment to be raptured, I guess. I don't understand all that stuff either, but hey, I just had to say it. But we all have our moments. But it doesn't change the love of God for any of us. He still desires for us for that restoration. He desires for us to be with him. He says, so in reality, God has, he died for us. And this is the thing. This is what I was talking about, praying for both sides, whatever camp you may be on in life. And it doesn't have to be just with this system. It can be with anything else. God, in reality, died for us, that whether what side we're on, he desires for restoration. Restoration. We see this in Revelation. Revelation is a beautiful book that speaks about the victory in Jesus Christ throughout the whole book. And it is a revelation of Jesus Christ to the church. And the beauty of it is that with all of these things taking place, all of these dynamic events taking place, there is always a call for something. You know what that is? Repentance. Always a call for repentance. Because God desires to save, not destroy. So he says very plainly right here, he says, God has not destined us for wrath to obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us all, whether we're awake or whether we sleep, that we might, that we would, that we could, that we may. I don't know what the word would be, but it says might here. Live in him. How do we live in him? By grace through faith. Therefore, because he has done this, what is your job? What is our job? What is the church's position? Encourage. How are we doing at that one? Encouraging. Are we encouraging one another? Are we seeking to build one another up, or are we trying to knock people down? Are we trying to cut them off at the feet? If they don't think like you, do you have nothing to do with them? If they don't go to your building, how are you doing with that one? That's how human beings think in their fallen nature. That is not our God. Therefore, we are to encourage one another, build one another up. And then he says to those in Thessalonica, just like you're doing, keep preaching the word. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the time to preach the word. This is a time to live in the hope of the gospel. Yes, there's a lot of stuff going on, and some of it we may say is prophetic. We may go into those roads. That's fine. But it doesn't change the need for preaching the word and sharing with the world that God loves them and he desires for them to be saved. May we be those servants. May we enter into this world and may we preach. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. Because God did not send his Son into the world. Now hear this. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him they may be saved. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. That's each and every one of us, not just puppies up here. Because how will they know it if they don't hear? For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this day. And we thank you for the love that you pour out upon us in and through.